Morning. Today's daf is Samech Ches. We got to finish up the third parak of Chulim. We're going to start the fourth parak of Chulim God willing this morning, and let's get at it. The last amud of Chulim, which we're doing right now, is all about eating worms. Anyone has any type of desire whatsoever, any thoughts about eating worms? So we will learn today how to do it. What is the process of eating worms? In fact, one of the Amoraim we're going to see this morning asked his mother, not making this up, you'll see this later on this morning, asked his mother, do me a favor, when I eat my worms, I need you to mix it in together with the rest of the dish so I don't see the worms, meaning I'd like them, but I just don't want to see them. So, okay, so you want to know how to eat worms. Now, of course, eating worms together with any other bugs is a prohibition of the Torah. The Gemara Makos discusses how many lavim a person may violate if he eats a bug, right? Depending on what kind of bug it is. So we know that bugs and all types of crawly objects are prohibited. Nevertheless, we're going to be learning over the course of today's daf, the first part of today's daf, that under certain circumstances, it's okay. It's okay to eat bugs. So we'll start the discussion with Shmuel. We're on the bottom, the very bottom of Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, the last line, not even the last four words of the page. Amar Shmuel. So if I have a cucumber that is infested with worms, so ba'avya asur misha masheretz v'sheretz ala aretz. If it's ba'avya, now that's important. It's an important word to understand what that means. So Rashi, I said the Rashi over yesterday, but let's say it over again because we're going to start from the beginning of this discussion. So let's reacquaint ourselves. So Rashi writes ba'avya, ba'oda mechuberes. It's the top Rashi on Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Ba'oda mechuberes sheretz ha'aretz hi. When the cucumber is connected to the ground, and there are worms in the cucumber, so it's at that point it's considered sheretz ha'aretz. It's bugs of the ground, and that of course is prohibited. The asura hatola as lechol, and so therefore you're not allowed to eat that worm. The kevin de mahalachas besocha kishos v'hi mechuberes bekarka, because it's in the cucumber, but the cucumber is connected to the ground. It's like the cucumbers walking on the ground. And that is sheretz ha'aretz, worms of the ground. But if it becomes infested with worms after it was detached from the ground, muteres. So those worms are permissible because that's not sheretz ha'aretz. So what Shmuel's teaching us, let's be very careful to think to make sure we have a good understanding, is that in order for a worm to be considered usher, look, worms and all bugs are usher, but it has to be sheretz ha'sheretz ala aretz. The Torah gives us a very clear definition of what kind of sheretz is usher. It is the sheretz that is on the ground. So Shmuel believes, and is of the opinion, that if it is connected to the ground, if the cucumber is connected to the ground, and the infestation of bugs and worms takes place while it's connected to the ground, that sheretz ha'sheretz ala aretz. If the infestation begins after it was disconnected from the ground, so that's not sheretz ha'sheretz ala aretz, and that will be fine. However, explains Rashi, even if the infestation takes place after it was disconnected from the ground, but then the worm comes to the outside of the cucumber, is now sitting on the top of the cucumber, right, or at any surface area of the cucumber, that's considered sheretz ha'sheretz ala aretz. It's now come into the world. Okay. Lema misayele. Now, so that's Shmuel's opinion. And do we pass them like Shmuel? So stay tuned, as we will discuss. Lema misayele. We're going to quote a brisa. The brisa seems to support Shmuel. Ditzni chada. Well, we have one brisa, and the brisa says al aretz lahotzi it's a zizin shiba adashin. The brisa quotes the pasuk hashoritz al haaretz. It's got to be on the ground. The bug, the worm, whatever crawly item it is, has to be on the ground, and that excludes zizin shiba adashin, little mites, little termites in your lentils. The esayitushim shebeklisim, little gnats in your pea pods, vitola'a shebetmarim ushebegrogoros. And if you have some worms in your dates or in your figs, that's fine. Enjoy them. Vitanya idach, enjoy them. sitting around the table, offering everyone a nice little date, a nice little fig, with some worms inside, you know, to explain to them. It's good for you. It's got protein. V'tanya idach, on the other hand, we learned in another braisa. Kol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz al ha-aretz, any sheretz which is on the ground, le-rabos tolam she-bikari zesim she-bikari gafanim. Now, in the second brisa, we're including bugs and worms that are in the ikare zesim, in the roots of the olives, and in the roots of the grapevine. Now, there are two brisas. The Gemara is going to make the following suggestion. My love, ida vi ida bepera. Both brises are reflecting an infestation that takes place in the fruit itself. And what's the difference between the two brises? One brises says, enjoy the worm. And the other brises says, no, the worm is osir. V'ha be'avya, v'ha shalo be'avya. And the resolution suggests the Gemara is that, well, it matters when it becomes infested. If it becomes infested while it's connected to the ground, hashar etzal ha'aretz. If it becomes infested after it was disconnected from the ground, so that is... That's going to be okay. That'll be fine. Yeah, that's right. So that's an excellent question. The Gemara earlier made a suggestion that what's the lifespan of a bug? What do we say it was? Now, I mean, I'm not talking about modern bug life, but the Gemara made the statement. I don't. 24 hours, right? So we said that if you see the bugs. Right. If you see the bugs alive, you know that it's been infested for the past 24 hours. Okay. Anyway, the simple answer is you don't know, and if you don't know, so then it's a suffix. It's a suffix minatora. So the Gemara says lo idiv idiv avya. So the Gemara says no. We're talking about where the bugs were connected. V'lokasha habepera habi ilana. What's the difference? The difference is. Where do the bugs come from? Meaning, if the infestation takes place within the fruit itself, right? Some say lay the eggs in the fruit, and if the infestation takes place in the fruit itself, that's fine, even though it's attached to the tree. However, if the infestation comes from the tree, the bugs come from the tree into the fruit. That's no good, because the sheretz are sheretz al aretz. In fact, the Gemara says that's really the pshat in the brisa. And because if read the brisa again, read it carefully. Dekanami diktani talashi bi kari zesim v'shibi ikari gefanim. The brisa doesn't say the olive. The brisa doesn't say the grape. It says the ikarim. That's the roots, meaning the bugs and the worms actually came from the roots. That's for sure is going to be elsewhere. Shema mina. So that's in fact the correct shot in the brisa. So now what we have basically is an old fashioned standoff, meaning that according to Shmuel. Shmuel believes, not believes, but is of the opinion that bugs in a fruit, worms in a fruit, are only permissible if the infestation takes place after it was detached from the ground. But if the infestation takes place while it's connected to the ground, that's going to be usher. That's the opinion of Shmuel. But now, according to the Brisa, the way we're saying the Brisa at this point in time, the Brisa is actually more makel. It's much more lenient. Any infestation of fruit... Meaning if the bugs developed inside the fruit, the worm developed inside the fruit, it's going to be mutter. Even if the fruit was connected to the ground. Right. And so I'm not...
Is this a key question?
Right. It is a key question. Agreed. Absolutely agreed. I'm not sure. I'm unsure. And
if you kept a fig and you open it, was it before or was it that?
Right. So, good. Now we want to eat our worms, correct? We want to eat our bugs. So what do we do? Who do we hold like? Do we hold like Shmuel? Do we hold like the Brisa? So interestingly enough, some Rishonim are Mekel. You look at the top toasters on the page, Deka Nami Diktani Tolash Shabi Karizesim, Mikami Daktik Rabbeinu Tam, Verabbeinu Nesano, Viriva, Dein Halacha Kishmuel, Da Amar Kishus, Sheit Liabav Yasura. Okay, so he quotes a number of Rishonim now, all Ashkenazic Rishonim, obviously, Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Nesano, Riva, and they say the Halacha is not like Shmuel, but the Halacha is like the Brisa, meaning that if the worm or bug developed inside of the fruit, and irregardless of whether it was connected or disconnected from the ground, it's going to be mutter. That is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. So, if you can imagine, hard to, but if you can imagine, Rabbeinu Tam would take a fruit, bite into it, there was a little bug, a little worm inside the fruit, he'd take another bite. I'm not sure about that, but halachically, it would be fine. Uvishiltos the Ravichai posek, I'm sorry, Uvahalachas gedolos vishiltos the Ravichai posek kashmol. However, earlier Rishonim and Rav Chai, the Gaon, so he paskin like Shmuel. And the Gemara supports, Tosas supports this position as well. Anyway, seeing Tosas over here. So, what comes down to now, worm in a fruit, or for that matter, any bug in a fruit, if that bug was developed, it was infested while the fruit was connected to the ground, machlokas between Shmuel and the Braisa, machlokas Rishonim, whether or not you can enjoy that fruit, whether or not you can enjoy the bugs inside the fruit. The Shulchan Aruch pasens like Shmuel, right? Is machmir like Shmuel, if the infestation takes place while it was still connected to the ground, that's going to be aster, that's going to be considered sheretz asheretz al ha'aretz. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. By Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now has a series of questions. Everyone's in agreement. If the fruit was infested after it was detached from the ground, everyone's in agreement, right? Shmuel says this, and the Braisa certainly says this, that the bugs are fine. Once the bugs, however, makes contact with the surface of the fruit, so then those bugs now become prohibited. By Rav Yosef, so, a number of questions. Pirshu Mesa Mahu. Look, what if the bug comes out of the fruit, but the moment it makes contact with air, the bug dies immediately? Is that considered sheretz asheretz al haaretz? Now Rashi develops the question so that we understand a little bit better. Pirshu Mesa says Rashi, ha-mitla'as la'achat klishasah. After it's tolish, after it's detached, the fruit becomes infested. L'divrei ha'kol pirshu mitoch ha'pri la'ar, D'shari l'divrei ha'kol. According to everybody, it's mutter. Pirsha mitoch ha'pri la'aretz. V'lo richsha. What happens? The bug actually makes surface contact of the fruit. In other words, leaves the fruit. And before it actually falls on the floor, the bug dies. Shemesa miyad b'nefilasa. Okay, so it dies right away. Look at the next Rashi. Mahu, mi amrinan kevan de lo halcha, lav sharitz al aritzi. Part of the very definition of a bug, it's got to crawl. It's got to crawl on the ground. In fact, Rashi says, that's what the word sharitz actually means. Sharitz means it crawls on the ground. Odim alo b'inan shritza. Sharitz hainu rochesh, umina'anea. The word sharitz actually means crawl. So the Rav Yosef's question is, look, the bug in the fruit, that's fine. Once a bug goes onto the ground, that's aser. But if it went, but the moment it hit the ground, before it hit the ground, it died. Maybe that's not a bug. Maybe part of the very definition of a bug is it needs to actually wiggle on the ground. Question number one. Question number two. Mixasumahu. What if some of the bug came and made surface contact, meaning it's a worm? Some of the worm now is on the outside, some of the worm is on the inside. What's the story with that? Question number three. La'avir ha'olam mahu. What if the bug got to the surface of the fruit, jumped off, and he caught the bug midair? Right? Swallowed the bug before the bug actually hit the ground. Okay? Teku. And all these questions, he says, I do not know. Meaning, I do not know the exact moment where the bug... In other words, here's where everyone's in agreement. When the bug's inside the fruit, that's fine. When the bug goes to the ground and wiggles on the ground, that's sheretz asheretz al haaretz. What basically Rav Yosef is trying to figure out is, when exactly does it become usher? At what point in between? When it breaks the surface area, when it's in the air, when it actually makes contact with the ground... He's not sure exactly when we went from Heter to Isser. Okay? So in all these questions, he leaves it off. Teku, I do not know. By Rav Ashi says, Legag Tamra, what if it's on the roof of the fruit? Okay? Didn't go into the air, didn't go to the ground, just sitting on the roof of the fruit. Legag Garinasa, what if it goes to the roof of the pit? Now, I'm not 100% sure what that means, meaning the pit, obviously, is embedded in the fruit. So, right, I would have thought, before having seen this Gemara, that if it's embedded in the fruit, what difference does it make where in the fruit it is? And the Gemara is entertaining, well, maybe if it's on the pit itself, that's considered al ha'aretz. Okay? Mitamra l'tamra mahu. What if it scurries this little bug, this little worm, from one fruit into another fruit? Okay? Mahu teku, the Gemara, again, leaves all these questions unresolved. Okay? So we don't know that point. We don't know exactly know what that point is when we went from heter, which is it's in the fruit itself. Aser is sharitzel ha'aretz, what's on the ground. And all those points in the middle, we're trying to identify at what point exactly does it become aser. And the Gemara and all these questions leaves it off teku, unresolved, which they're talking about issa daraisa. I'd venture to guess that we go the chumrah. I'm Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi. Kukiani Asiri. Funny name, right? Talking about some sort of parasite, some sort of worm. What is it infesting exactly? So up for discussion, up for debate. Take a look at Rashi, Tolaim, Shebekaved, Ushebereya. So Rashi says we're talking about an infestation of worms in the liver and in the lungs. Okay? Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Perisha kunshus tolaim shebekavod shebereiv kashal rabbein atam deli idlach lishna deshari tikshle mibrayt de besamach deva edni vlasam tishaketzel rabbis daranim shebe mehema afagav diminaka gadle. So it will stay gemara later on. The gemara later on will absolutely prohibit animal lungs and animal livers that are infested with worms. And rabbein atam says and the gemara does not utter a word of the kukiani. So. So Rabbeinu Tam says he humbly disagrees with his grandfather. Okay. Ela Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Dibbe Dagim. We're talking about fish that are infested with worms. Okay? So Machlokis Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, what exactly is being infested? But we know we're talking about worms, that's for sure. So Kukiani, so the Gemara says Asiri. So the first version of the Gemara is that it's prohibited. You can't eat these worms. My Taima, Me'ama also because they are not indigenous to the, let's say it like Rabbeinu Tam, even though usually we start with Rashi, but most Rishonim go like Rabbeinu Tam. It's not indigenous to the fish, meaning the worm comes from the outside and enters into the fish. Oh, okay, fine. So in other words, the worm was sheretz or sheretz alaretz. Maskev la Rav Ashi ime ama aso lishtakhu derech beis ari'i. Really? Well, that means then that if these worms come from the outside, so that means that they were ingested. And if they were ingested, we should find it in the GI tract. Okay? So, Ika Da'amre, okay, so that's version number one. Version number two, Ika Da'amre, Amre, Rav Shisha Brei, Rav Idi, Kukiani, Sharu. So then the Gemara has the second version, which is, go ahead, enjoy these worms. So again, according to Rabbi Tam, we're talking about fish. Fish that was infested with worms, please enjoy them. Eat the worms. Maitama mine gavle. Because they are developed inside of the fish. They therefore become part of the fish. And now the Gemara points out that's correct. Because if they were swallowed, if these worms were swallowed, you would expect them to find them in the GI tract. These worms are not in the GI tract. So these worms actually grew from with inside the fish. V'hilkasa. Kukiani Asiri, Maitaima, Meinanan Ve'ailele Bu'usia. The Gemara's conclusion, however, is that these types of worms are prohibited. Why? Because the premise was built on whether or not they are internal or external. The Gemara says, no, they're external. They come from outside and they infested from the outside. So meaning they were sharetz or sharetz alaretz. How did these worms get inside? Meaning, we're back to our question. How come you don't find these worms in the GI tract? And the Gemara's answer is, Menam naim va'ailele b'usya. What happens is that the worms came in while it was sleeping. This sounds a little bit more like Rashi, that we're talking about animals and not like fish. Fish usually don't sleep. But anyway, Menam naim... Do fish... I don't know. Anyway, Menam naim va'ailele b'usya. So the Gemara says, because what happened is that the fish fell asleep and they came in through the lungs, and so therefore they were not ingested through the mouth. That's why you don't find them in the GI tract. Fine. Okay? So the Gemara says you cannot eat them. But it's only because, everyone understand? It's only because they didn't develop from inside the fish. Had the worms developed inside the fish, or according to Rashi, inside the animal, they would be fine. Tolayim didani debisra asire. Okay, you find maggots in your meat. Okay. I'd say most people would throw it out. Most people would not consider the halachic permissibility of those maggots. But we're learning Gemara, Let's think about the halachic permissibility of those maggots. So you have maggots of meat, so that's going to be aser. However, dekavri sharyan. But if you have maggots and fish, enjoy it. They're fine. Amala Ravina le'ime. Ravina says to his mother, avla li v'ana echal. Do me a favor. I'd like to eat it. Problem is, I can't watch it. I can't look. So avla li, you know, mix it around good. Meaning, you know, get the maggots really deep inside the dish so that I don't see it. So I'd like to eat it, but make sure I don't see it. Now, obviously, we're talking about the maggots of the fish because the maggots of the meat are prohibited. So we're talking, so he, Ravina, ate maggots of the fish. Okay, so when you do your biographical sketch of Ravina, you're going to add this now to the life and times of Ravina. Amalei Rav Mishashi Brei Rav Achila Ravina Maishna Hadetanya. So the Gemara challenges Ravina and says, I don't understand. We have a brisa of Esnev Lassam Tishaketzel Rabba says Adarinim Shebebehema. So the brisa says very clearly that you're not allowed to eat maggots in the meat. So because the maggots are bugs, they're worms, they're sharetz sharetz alaretz. So Amalei Hachi Hashta. So the Gemara says, no, they're not the same. Behema b'shchita hu demishtere b'hani midelo kamehanya lo shchita b'isurayhu kayamen. Aval dagim b'asifa ba'ame mishtare b'hani ki kagavlan b'heter kagavlan. The Gemara gives a fascinating distinction between fish and meat. Now, I will repeat exactly what the Gemara says. I will translate the words. I will not claim I have a full understanding of what this means. Look, bugs that come from the outside and enter in, that for sure is aser. That's called sheretz ha-sheretz al-aretz. That's for sure aser. But we're not talking about those types of worms and bugs. We're talking about maggots. We're talking about an internal infestation of the animal and of the fish. We're talking about where the bugs grew inside. When the bugs grow inside, that's fine. Okay. So then the question is, well, so then why are we making a distinction between meat and fish? Meat that's infested, animal that's infested with bugs, you can't eat the maggots. Fish that's infested with bugs, those maggots, enjoy them. What's the difference? Ravina's answer goes like this. Well, think about it. In order to eat the meat, what do you need to do? You need to shech the animal. The shechting of the animal only works for the meat. Meaning when you shecht an animal, that permits the meat, but only the meat. Other items in the animal, notably maggots, don't become permitted with that shechita. The maggots start off as usser and remain as usser.
But if grasshoppers don't regard shechita, why the maggots?
It's difficult. It's difficult to understand, and I'm having a difficult time explaining it. Probably because I don't understand it so well. But the maggots themselves are usser. Maggots that developed inside of an animal. Look, maggots developing inside of fruit also is okay. If the food is connected to the ground, so machlokus between Shmuel and the Braisa, but still, the basic point is, it has to be sheretz ha-sheretz al ha-aretz. But these maggots that develop inside the animal, I can't eat the animal. Hence, I can't eat the maggots. How do I eat the animal? Through shechita. Shechita only permits the animal. Doesn't permit the maggots. Fish, on the other hand, don't require shechita. Oh. So since fish don't require shechita, so the fish, even while it's swimming in the ocean, I can eat the fish. The maggots that develop inside the fish, I can eat those maggots as well. Are the maggots are shratzim? No. Sheretz is only aser when it's sheretz or sheretz al aretz. Because I caught the fish with the maggots inside, the maggots are acceptable as well.
The bottom of the sea is called considered the walking sheretz. Like if you have something crawling on the bottom of
the seabed, is that considered aretz? But I don't know.
I will say a sheretz compared to a fish.
So, but the Gemara's assumption is that it was internally infested. I mean, that's okay. The biology.
No. Even the ones that are crawling on the ground.
The ones that are crawling on the ground that go in
the water and then.
Yeah, I hear your question. I'm not sure.
Rabbi.
Yes.
You can always eat the entire fish, but even with shechita, you can't eat
it. Right. You can't eat the entire animal. There are parts of the animal that you have to discard because they're prohibited. They get anusha, the chaylev. You're absolutely correct. And so maybe those maggots will be considered like in that category. Okay.
You would think the animal would be contaminated having all that
stuff. Well, the animal is contaminated, but...
It's like disease. It's like a puncture.
Yeah, but... by the fish, maybe.
But the infection is on the
category. Right, right, exactly. Right.
No, okay. It's made up holes. Those maggots made holes into things.
Okay. Good. So a little bit more to finish off the perek. Let's start the fourth perek. Tan Rabbanan Holecha Gachon Zenachash. Okay. The Torah talks about all the crawly objects on the ground which you're not allowed to eat. Kol Holecha Gachon. It walks on its stomach. So that's the snake. Snake walks on its stomach. Kol Rabbas Ashoshol. And when we say kol, even the earthworm. That's a domal Ashoshol. Anything looking like an earthworm. Al arba ze'akrav, something walks on all fours, so that's talking about the scorpion. Kol holech l'rabas es hachiposhes. You can't eat your little beetle. Also usur. Ve'sadom l'chiposhes. Mar be'raglayim, what about something that has a lot of legs? We all know what that is. Ze'nadal. Okay? A centipede. Ad kol l'rabas esadom ve'sadom l'doma. Anything that looks like it looks like a centipede, or any of these bugs that we just mentioned, is going to be Asar. Obviously, in the insect world, there are tons of things that look like that. So, right? Anything that crawls. So slithers.
What happens at night time, four legs is a scorpion?
Huh? What? I'm sorry, what?
Akrav is a scorpion.
Akrav is a scorpion.
Yeah, is that the only bug that crawls on four legs?
That's not fair. You're asking me a biology question. Marbe raglaim, right? So, okay. So these are all the things that are going to be prohibited. Tanya Rabbi Yosef ben Drumaskit Omer Livyasan Dag Tahor. What about the Leviathan? We're all familiar. There is a creature. It's called the Livyasan. Kadosh Baruch Hu has prepared it for the Tzadik and Lasid Lavo. So the Gemara says it's Tahor. It's kosher. Which is good because the tzaddikim having lived a very virtuous life and having now entered into the world to come and are going to eat the Leviathan, so safe to say that they're going to be eating kosher. Now, Hushin Amar, the Gemara now quotes Psukim from Eov that describe the Leviathan and gives us Simone Kashras. Ga'ava afike miganim tachtav chidude cheres. So afike miganim, the Leviathan has things that protect it. What do we call that? Scales. Elu kaskasim shebo. Tachtav chidu de cheres. And what underneath it has some sharp instrument. What's the sharp instrument? So elus napi rim. Those are the fins. Sheporeach bahen. And by the way, the Leviathan flies. It's a flying fish. Hadronach eletref is no better way to end the third parak of Chulin. Okay. So we have now... We're going to begin the fourth perek of Chulin. Okay, as I mentioned already, the third perek of Chulin is a mouthful. It's longest perek in Shas. I do not know. You say no, right?
First perek of
Kedushin goes 40 blot. You're right. You see, you're a cardiologist. You know things about the human body that I don't know. This is my business, so I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but you've been around something long enough, you just get to know these things. So, okay. We are now starting the fourth parak of Chulin. So the rest of Chulin, this is great. There's a lot of Chulin left. Please don't worry, we're not finishing Chulin. But we got through the long stuff. The first three prakim make up 67 blot of a mesechta, okay, and there are and it's not like we have two or three prakim more to go. What is it, 12 or 13? 12 prakim of Chulin. So we still got a lot more to go. We still got prakim 4 through 12, but each perek we're going to get a real treat because each perek is its own topic. Okay, so as we now go through the rest of the Masechta, so every time we enter into a new parak, we're going to enter into a new topic. The fourth parak is a funny topic, but it's a topic to be discussed. Ben Pekua. Okay, there are when you shech, whenever you shech an animal, so obviously now what's happening is that you're permitting the animal. Shechita accomplishes two things. Number one, shechita allows you now to eat the meat of the animal, and also shechita prevents the animal from becoming a nevela, from becoming the carcass, the dead carcass. Had you not shechted it, had it died without a shechita, so the animal will give off tumah, tumas nevela. Good. What becomes permitted? So, as Danny just points out, what becomes permitted is the meat of the animal. You can't eat, there are parts of the animal that you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat the chalef, the forbidden fats of an animal. You're not allowed to eat the ginanasha, right, the sciatic nerve. Okay, but outside of that, though, the muscle of the animal, you can't eat the blood of the animal. That still also is prohibited. But the meat of the animal, the internal organs of the animal, okay, by all means, enjoy. Enjoy those parts of the animal. What if the animal's pregnant and it has a fetus inside? Does shechita permit the fetus inside the animal? And the simple answer is yes. Yes. Okay. Now there's an overarching discussion regarding how to view the fetus. Is the fetus considered a limb of the mother? Is the fetus not considered a limb of the mother? Okay, that is a very basic question that comes up over and again throughout Shas. Okay. Irregardless of that issue, fetus is within the protective walls of the mother. And since that fetus is within the protective walls of the mother, so when I shecht, I'm shechting mother and the fetus inside as well. Even though I'm not actually performing shechita on the fetus, obviously, but nevertheless, the fetus is basically now nichlal, it's included in the mother. Okay. That's where we need to all start with in terms of starting the fourth parak of Chulin. And then the Mishnah immediately goes to the following scenario. What if, before I shechted the mother started giving birth? Now, I know it sounds a little cruel, meaning, why don't we just finish the birth now? And then we'll shecht the mother? Okay, but right now we're not discussing it from an ethical standpoint, we're now discussing it from a halachic standpoint. I now shechted the mother right in the middle of birth. Okay. So what now becomes of the fetus, where part of the fetus is inside the mother and part of the fetus is outside the mother? Okay. And essentially, with an exception, and I'll talk about the exception in just a moment, we'll draw a line. The part of the fetus that's inside the mother, that's mutter. The part of the fetus that's outside the mother, that's going to be aser. The Mishnah says there's one exception. Again, all this we'll see inside. I just want to make sure everyone has a basic understanding before we start the Mishnah. And then the exception is, what if the fetus comes out head first? Which is usually what happens. If the fetus comes out head first, so once the head pops out of the mother, the fetus is considered born. Okay? In other words, the definition of birth is the exiting of the head, even though the rest of the body is still contained inside of the mother. And so consequently, once the head comes out, so now that fetus is considered totally removed from the mother. Okay? So far, so good. Let's start the Mishnah. Behema ha-mekasha leleid. So the mother is, it's a strange way to describe it, that you're shechting it and it's like it's struggling. It's struggling to give birth while you're shechting it. Vehotzi ha-ubar es yado. And the fetus extends a limb from outside of the mother. Mutter ba'achila. Thank you. That's an important word I skipped. Everyone's following. I like that. V'hechzira, and then it retracted that limb. Mutter ba'achila. You're allowed to eat. Now, eat what? We're talking now about the fetus, or we're talking about that limb that extended and retracted? Okay? So, from the Mishnah, it's certainly not clear. The Gemara will advance the opinion of Rav, which is the accepted halacha, that we're only talking about the fetus. The limb that extended and retracted is going to be aser. Okay. Hotzias rosho. What if it extended its head? Meaning, what if the head comes out? Afa pishechzir hareze kialud. So even though the head comes back in, it's too late. The fetus is now considered born. Once it extends outside of the womb and enters into the world, now it's considered like it's born, even though it may have gone back in again, right? We see that in Chumash, something coming out and something coming back in again, right? Parrots. That's absolutely correct. right? The red string that was tied around the hand of Peretz. His hand comes out, his hand comes back in again. Zerach comes out first, then Peretz comes out after that. Okay. Anyway, but we're talking about animals over here. We're talking about eating. It's not exactly the same, but chotech meuber shebe'me'eha muter ba'achila. Okay, this is terribly unpleasant, but the halacha is, what if the fetus doesn't come out, but you insert your hand into the womb of the animal and cut up the fetus inside? Right? Maybe it's a stillborn. Maybe you're just trying to get the fetus out, and so therefore you cut it into pieces in order to get it out. Okay, and before it actually comes out, so in other words, the fetus is now cut into pieces inside of the animal, and then you shech the mother. So the Mishnah says, muter b'achila, right? Because again, the basic idea is, as long as it's within inside the mother, it's considered part and parcel of the mother. Shechting of the mother is going to permit the eating of the fetus.
What if you kill the fetus while you're doing it? Inside the mother?
Well, the...
Let's say you do like a irreversible damage and the fetus is dead.
But as long as it's inside, it's inside. As long as that fetus never came into the world, it's within the protective boundary of the mother.
So it's not considered an availment if you killed.
Correct. Min hatchola min haklayos. Now, what if you cut out organs of the animal? Meaning, let's not talk about fetus, although the rest of today's daf is about a fetus. But let's say you cut out organs. You cut the spleen, you cut the kidneys, right? And then you shecht the animal. So, aser be'achila. There it doesn't work. Meaning, because once you cut out a kidney, once you cut out a spleen of the mother, once you cut out a kidney, once you cut out a spleen, that's now considered aver menachai. That's considered a limb cut off, even though you haven't removed it. Meaning, even though it's still within the mother, nevertheless, that's going to be prohibited. So, the idea of cutting something up inside and it still being mutter is only going to work by a fetus, not by actual internal organs. Now, spleen and kidneys, why do we talk about those examples? So Rashi says we talk about those examples because that does not render the mother a trefa. Much discussion to be had because back in the third parak, it sounded from the Gemara that you cut out a kidney, you cut out a spleen, the animal is a trefa. And Rashi over here says it's not a trefa. So much discussion about this particular Rashi. It's the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Okay, we're not going to... I'm just going to drop the question and run and move on. Zeh haklal. Davar she'gufo asur she'eino gufo mutar. Something that's part of the animal and you cut it out is going to be asur. Something that's not part of the mother, meaning the fetus, so and you shech the mother, that's going to be mutar. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Let's go to the first case of the Mishnah. Spend the rest of today talking about the first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah is, again, the mother's pregnant, there's a fetus inside, a hand comes out of the womb. So now you see the actual, well, I say hand, by the way, we're talking about an animal. So a leg. A leg comes out, a foreleg comes out of the womb. Okay? And the Mishnah says, and it comes back in. Now the Mishnah says that you can eat it. Now, unidentified pronoun of the Mishnah. You can eat it. What can you eat? So, Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Aver Atzmo Aser. The fetus is mutter, but that limb that came out, that limb is Aser. Okay. My Taima, why? Amakra Ubas Basada Trefaloso Chelu. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim that you're not allowed to eat Basar Basada, meat in the field, Trefa lo so chelo. It's trefa, you're not allowed to eat it. Now, right, we're gonna see a lot of this pasuk. The pshuto shakra, the simple pshat of that pasuk is you're not allowed to eat a trefa. But if you read the pasuk carefully, it says basar basada trefa lo so chelo. Right, if the meat is out in the field, what does that mean? Meat out in the field, trefa lo so chelo. So the Gemara, Rashi says, the Gemara is going to be more clear about this a little bit later on. This pasuk is telling us that if you have any scenario where it's within a protective wall and it leaves its protective wall, it goes out to the quote unquote field, it's going to be asur. Give you a couple of examples of what we mean. Rashi says, one example. Let's say you have a carbon. Now, in order for a carbon to be permissible, it has to be within the azara. Once you take it outside the azara, it becomes pasul. Right? So that's one example. Correct. Because what we're doing is we're really looking at it from a fundamental idea of being within a certain mechitza and leaving that mechitza. Okay, we'll give you another example, which, as Ben accurately points out, doesn't seem that related. Another example would be, you have a fetus inside the mother. The mother now becomes the wall, the mechitza for that fetus. Once that fetus leaves the wall, or any part of the fetus leaves the wall, that's it. It's treif. You can't eat it. Kevin sheyasa batzer chutz mechitza so nesar. Okay, so Rav states, his very strong opinion is that even though the Mishnah says if the limb comes back, it's mutter, not the limb. The rest of the fetus is mutter, that limb becomes aser. Tanan, the Gemara challenges Rav. Behema makshel hamekashel leleid, vahutziya ubers yado, vihichziro, mutter b'achila. All the Gemara does is just simply quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're allowed to eat it. So, my lava aver, isn't the Mishnah talking about the limb? And the Gemara answers in defense of Rav, lo aubar. It's not talking about the limb, it's talking about the rest of the fetus. E aubar, my iria hechzira, filo lo hechzira. So the Gemara says, so why does the Mishnah mention retraction? If the whole point of the Mishnah is that we're talking about the fetus, so why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say, and that limb is still out there? Why is the Mishnah talking about retraction? Isn't the whole point of retraction is that once the limb becomes retracted, that limb becomes permitted? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. No, you know what? The limb retracts, the limb doesn't retract, the limb is going to be prohibited. So why does the Mishnah talk about retraction? Because the Mishnah wanted to make its next point. Va'aydid dekabayim mis the seifa hotzias rosho, alpha pi shech zero, harizek yulud, taninami re shech zero, hech zero. Because the next point of the Mishnah is, what if the head of the animal came out? That's born. And the Mishnah wanted to make the point that it's so born that even if it goes back into the womb, it doesn't matter. It's born. It's considered like yulud. So the Gemara says, so now you're telling me that the first point of the Mishnah about the retraction of the limb, the Mishnah there is not teaching us anything, because even if it didn't retract. So why does this talk about retraction? Because it wants to make the point regarding the head, the next case of the Mishnah. Once the head comes out, it's considered born. So the Gemara is now going to ask, that's a chiddush? Meaning, I'll show you other Mishnayos throughout Shas that make this point so clearly. And so I don't need a Mishnah in Chulin to make this point. We'll have a Mishnah in Bechoros. Okay? Firstborn. Now, we're talking about a human right now. Okay? So one more time, we're going to compare the birth of a human to a birth of an animal. There are anatomical differences, but the Gemara makes a comparison. Eza b'chor l'nachla ve'ena b'chor l'kohanim. The Mishnah wants to know, give me an example, great trivia, okay? I mean, it's not trivia, it's a Mishnah, but give me an example where you are a Bechor for one halacha, but you're not a Bechor for another halacha. Now, being a Bechor really engenders two halachas. Number one, Pishnayim, right? The beginning of next week's Parsha. You're going to get the double portion. Every brother after that is only going to get a single portion, you get a double portion, okay? A second halacha for being a Bechor is that you need pidyon, you need to be redeemed, right? Assuming that mom and dad are not kohanim. So you need to be redeemed, where now dad is going to go to a kohen and say, look, my son's a firstborn, I need to redeem him. So give me a scenario, says the Mishnah Bechoros, where the birth results in Bechor l'nachala, but does not result in Bechor for a kohen. Haba achar nefalim. Let's say the mom's firstborn, God forbid, was a nephil. Okay? Miscarried. Afa pisha, and so now the next one that comes out is going to be the firstborn for the double portion, will not be the firstborn for the kohen. Why? So Rashi explains, because the criteria is different. Okay. Rashi explains that when it comes to the firstborn for nachala, the Torah is very clear about what there is the criteria for being the firstborn for Nachalan. The Torah says, it's next week's Parsha, the beginning of next week's Parsha, Rashi, who racious Ono? Okay? Who racious Ono? Now, in terms of identifying and defining what the firstborn is for the inheritance, the double portion inheritance, it really is a focus on the father. It's the father's firstborn. Rashi quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, Misha libo dava alav. I'm in the middle of the Rashi of Bechor Lanachala. Misha libo dava alav. Yatzavla she'eno shel kayama shein lev aviv dava al moso. Now, I will definitely attempt to be sympathetic in describing this and explaining this, but it goes like this, basically. A mother miscarries, it's a tragedy. But it's not something where the father is libo dava alav. In other words, the father does not feel the loss as if he lost an actual child. Again, not diminishing, not trying to subtract from a miscarriage, right? It's still a loss, but it's not to be compared with the actual loss of a child that came into the world, born into the world, lived, and then died. So if it is not misha libo dava alav, if the child is not that, he's not a Bechor LaNachla. He's not a firstborn, because it's who racious oh no. The firstborn for Nachla really depends on the father and the father's attachment to the child. So a miscarriage, it does not create enough of attachment where it's considered Bechor LaNachla. Okay. So if it's a Nefel, so that's not Bechor LaNachla, which means that the next one that comes out, the next child that comes out, will be the Bechor for Nachla. However, for the Kohen, it's enough. Why? Because for the Kohen, so all you need is a birth. The Kohanim, so Abar Chanecha, Alfa Pishi Yatzarosho, Chai Oben Teshi Yatzarosho, Mace. The Mishnah in Bechoro says, even if the head comes out, even if the head comes out and the baby is not alive, that's considered a birth. That's the Mishnah in Bechoro. So, Taima Derosho, Mace, Harosho, Chai Abachara, Bechola Nachala, Nami lo have. So what is that Mishnah Bechor is teaching us? That if the head comes out, now if it happens to be that the head came out and the baby was dead, okay, so that's not Bechor LaNachla. But if the head comes out and the baby was alive, that's a Bechor LaNachla. Otherwise stated, it's born. Head coming out is considered born. So now the Gemara is going to point out, okay, but that's Bechoros, that's human. That's human birth. We're learning chulin right now. We're learning about animal birth. And maybe they're different. How are they different? The ain prusdor la behema, right? Because when it comes to an animal, there's no prusdor. There's no canal. Now, it's interesting because canal over here does not mean the anatomical canal of the woman. It's actually talking about the legs of the woman, right? So says Rashi. Okay, so the point is that it's different. It's a different form of birth. So prusdor la behema, behema me'adam lo yafad chashe pirts of panim didei. And on the other hand, also, we can make another distinction. Because when it comes to a human, you have something called pirts of panim. There's face. Meaning there's something significant about the head, specifically the face, that identifies the human. As opposed to an animal, right? You could make the argument, we're not going to, but you could make the argument that the pirts of panim of an animal is not as significant as the pirts of panim, the facial features of a human. So the point is very simple. Chulin is about animals and Bechoros is about humans. Hanami Tanina. So the Gemara says, okay, that's really what bothers you? So the Gemara says, fine. How about this? I'll show you another Mishnah. Shal Yishayatsa Samiksasa Asura Ba'achila. Kisimen Vla Be'isha Kach Simen Vla Be'behema. What if what comes out is just a placenta and nothing else? All that came out was a placenta. Now, there's no such thing as a placenta.
Before the fetus emerged, this placenta came out.
No fetus came out. Just the placenta came out. Now, obviously, if there was a placenta, there was a fetus. What do we? So give me an explanation. So later on, we'll talk about this more in depth. The explanation is that there was a fetus. The fetus died and disintegrated. So in other words, with that placenta came. Okay, sorry for being so brutal, but bits and pieces of the fetus. So the Mishnah later on will tell us, Shalya Shiyatsa Miksasa Asura. if a little bit of the placenta comes out, it's usur. You can't eat that placenta. Why? Rashi explains, the Gemara later on will point this out very clearly, because of our concern that maybe the part of the disintegrated fetus that came out was the head. Okay. So, again, the point is very simple. Head coming out is considered birth. So again, what bothers the Gemara now is, what's news in our Mishnah? Like, what's the Chiddush in our Mishnah? So, Iyamar Bishlam Echzira Dereisha Dafka Tana Seifa Atu Reisha. Look, if the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that the limb comes out, the limb comes back in again, the limb you're allowed to eat, so then the Mishnah is telling us something. But according to Rav, that limb is Aser. So where's the Chiddush in the Mishnah? However, Iyamar Lo Dereisha Dafka Velo De Seifa Dafka Lama Le Lemisne Klal. What's the point of our Mishnah? The Mishnah's got to be teaching us something. So the Gemara defends Rav. And the Gemara says like this. Rav is right. The limb comes out, that limb becomes prohibited. Even if the limb retracts, and he shek the mother and the limb was inside, that limb is prohibited. So, when the Mishnah says, so what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Uchid amar av nachem bar yitzchak lo nitzrucha el al makam chitach, hachanami lo nitzrucha el al makam chitach. Look, if I may. Right, this pen will be my limb for the rest of today, which will be one more minute. Okay, the limb comes out. Now look, if the limb stay right, and this will be, everything here will be inside, everything here will be inside. Right, there obviously now, everything inside is mutter, everything outside is aser. There's what's called the makom chitach, meaning, let's just imagine now that I shechted the animal, and the limb was in this position. So, obviously, I'm going to have to cut. But even the area that I cut, the makum chitach, that little area is also going to be aser. What I'm going to have to do, after I take out the limb, is I'm going to have to cut over here as well. Okay? That area did not become mutter. However, if before I shechted the mother, the limb retracted in, this area, that makum chitach, that little area that I pinched, that area is also going to be permissible. So that is the entire difference between limb being out versus limb being in, is that little area that's right on the border, the makom chitach. Tomorrow we'll talk more about this particular area. Okay. Concluded the third parak today. Talked about eating worms. I gave you instructions in terms of how to eat worms and maggots. Okay. Enjoy. Started the fourth parak of Chulin this morning, and centers around the topic of Uber b'me'imo. And we finished off with a very, very, literally a fine line now between what part of the limb you're allowed to eat if that limb extends. Stop over here. Rabbi Chanani ben Akash Amar Tzakash Baruch Hezaki Sofich Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Adonai Chafetz Aman Tziko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Amen. I really appreciate it.
Amen.
Yes,
just keep it like that.
Has to sit like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put it in the bookshelf like that. Amen. Yehesh Me'rabba Mevarach Le'olam Amei Amayam.